Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Going to be joined by Anthony Slater shortly. And he is with us right now, joined by Anthony Slater of The Athletic. Anthony, thank you so much for joining us. I missed you last time you hopped on. I was down there in Scottsdale for some golf and spring training. Thank you for hopping back on with us, my guy.
I'm having a rough morning. I have Mississippi State in my I had to beat North Carolina. I'm going to the Sweet 16. What am I doing?
I don't know what you are doing. I think we were all high because I think high on Mississippi State because he because they did well.
Might be the first thing.
Yeah, I was like, I think you had it right the first time.
Because they did well in the SEC tournament. I hear you, man. My bigger teams haven't really gone off. And I know Oklahoma, both of us are in the same situation because Oklahoma State and Temple, I don't think either of us are doing very much. We're not even in it.
Oklahoma State fired their coach, so you know how things are going. How about this one? Long Beach State's about to play. They fired their coach and then went on and won their conference tournament. So he's like a fired coach, but he's coaching in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I was tempted to take them, but I did not. I got scared.
Yeah, I wouldn't, not against Arizona.
No. We are talking with Anthony Slater of The Athletic. Anthony, let's start here. Your initial... You had a great piece in The Athletic with Malik Monk, who is really the hottest topic out here. Once the season ends, Chris and I are going to have plenty and plenty of content to talk about Malik Monk. What was your main takeaway from your conversation with him?
I like talking to him. That was probably the main one. I would say every team has two or three guys that are like really good personality guys. And for us, for particularly what I do, you know, trying to sit down with players and stuff like that, you know, those are the interviews you try to search out. So, largest takeaway, like, oh, okay, I have a good sense of what he's actually thinking because he really tells you what he's actually thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what did you think? Like, were you surprised, I guess, by his openness in saying pretty much flat out, like, I would like to start. I don't really enjoy coming off the bench. Were you surprised by that?
Maybe a little bit, but it was probably like midway through like a 15, 20 minute conversation.
Right.
We were talking about the various points of his career, which included, you know, Charlotte, where he, as he mentions, he never really got proper opportunity there. And like, he only started one game in like four seasons there, even though he was a lottery pick. Mm-hmm. He felt a little bit mishandled, misused. And I think part of that, you know, at times in his career, he's believed that you know, his talent should lead him to bigger roles. And it got to the point where it was like, you know, we're talking about the how good it would be, how nice it would be for him to win Sixth Man of the Year award. But we're also talking about, like, you know, in some ways, you know, it tells you it kind of like keeps you in this ladder of the league that, you know, at 26 years old, ascending the way he seems to be ascending. You know, you might not necessarily want that award.
Right.
And then I was like, so do you like coming off the bench? And he just kind of laughed, like, man, you saw, he said, hell no.
Yeah.
Hell no, I don't. But it wasn't in a way of like, you know, I'm demanding this right. must change. It was like, look, we're winning. It's going well. The other point he made to me was like, still getting 30-something minutes on some nights, you know, like it's starters minutes most of the time. It's just kind of scripted in a way that he's not a starter. But, you know, again, I get it, especially with what he's doing on the court.
Talking to Anthony Slater of The Athletic and breaking down his great, great article on Malik Monk. Anthony, he talked about the success that he was hoping to get in the postseason, and that would also play a part in his decision at the end of the season when he becomes a free agent. What do you think that line of – we spent some time yesterday trying to figure out what that line of success would be. And it's probably a combination of things. If they lose in the first round, but he's now a starter, something like that. But I guess what is worst-case scenario, or what is what Malik might feel is a quote-unquote good playoff run?
Well, I mean, I think worst-case scenario for the Kings is they don't make it out of the play-in.
Right. Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's on the table for, you know, you could go look at the four teams currently in the play-in and add, you know, whatever, Phoenix, Dallas, really five teams if you include the sixth seed. Two of those teams will not make the playoffs. Two of those teams will be extremely disappointed heading into the offseason. And if that's the case, like, you will, I mean, I know what you guys are going to be talking on the airwaves the day after if they lost in the play-in.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what do they need to do this summer? Have they plateaued? Where is this going? What type of changes need to be made? Just because that's just the natural sports thing to do. So if that happens, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of disappointed people in that locker room, and I'm sure Malik Monk's going to be one of them. Other than that, I think it's like just the tangible, like let's say they do make the first round, and if they get to the second round, like typically it's how the series that you get eliminated ends, right? You know, did you take Denver to a tough sixth game right. And lose at the buzzer where you're like, man, this team next year, you know, Keegan Murray looked great. Malik Monk, you know, really looks, you know, does he have a good series? A lot of times, you know, people look at, you know, how did I personally play? That's the sour taste in their mouth heading into the offseason is dependent on, you know, how they look. Think about Harrison Barnes last year. I thought Harrison Barnes had a really good season last year. He played all 82 games, was productive, but he kind of got phased out of that Warrior series. And you entered the offseason wondering about his future with the Kings because he was basically, you know, shaved from the rotation almost in that Warrior series. So just how does it end for Malik, but how does it end for the Kings? Like, do you feel like they've plateaued, or do you feel like they're on the ascent still?
Anthony, I'm curious just in general, your general vibe after talking to Malik, like, do you feel – How do you feel about the Kings' chances of getting him back? I mean, they're, you know, he's obviously already there now. He's going to grow some emotions with you know, connectivity to the team. But there are some teams out there this offseason that are going to have some money. He can go start in San Antonio. Orlando's been a team that's been rumored to have interest. There's also good teams out there like Philadelphia that are going to have some cap space money.
Detroit's the name, too.
Detroit, absolutely. Yeah. How do you feel about the Kings' chances of keeping Malik?
Pretty good. You know, I think he likes it. I mean, like, there's no question he likes it. Yeah. That's not just, you know, like, political talk from him. He's friendly with Fox. That's why he came here. I think his relationship with Mike Brown is healthy. I think he likes having a coach that gets after him, but also, like, lets Malik get back after him and you know, kind of brings the competitive juice out of him. So when you are happy with generally how the coach deploys you, but also let you be yourself. Happy with the organization. The other thing is, I think he likes the slow down nature of Sacramento. You know, having played in Los Angeles, he mentioned it. I mean, he's like a really rabid golfer.
Yeah,
and he's picked that up over the last couple of years. And I talked to him a little bit about that. I only kind of, you know, subtly mentioned it in the story, but it's kind of a big thing. I think like it calms him down. I think just like playing out here, living out here. I used to cover the Thunder back in the day for a while, and you would talk to a lot of those young players, the Durants, the Westbrooks, the Ibakas at the time, about how the slow nature of Oklahoma City allowed them to really focus on the craft, get in the gym on off days. Like, they didn't mind going in the gym because they didn't feel like they were missing some, you know, big events or big nights out. And I just think Malik has really enjoyed that from a professional perspective, because it's not like you don't travel the country or, you know, can live in LA or wherever in the off season. So I do think he really likes the setup here. The bigger question is the money, right? I mean, you know, $17 million is a starting salary next year. Would a team take him well over 20? I think if a team's just saying, hey, 20, I don't know that the difference between 20 and 17 is that substantial, but if we start talking about the difference between 25 and 17 starting salary, and especially because teams know this, right? There, teams are often much more willing to chase a guy down if it's like, oh, is he actually obtainable? And this situation, because of the CBA limitations, makes him potentially obtainable. But at the same time, taking a step back, 4 years, $77 million is like the kind of the offer, the long-term offer that the Kings can put on the table for him. That seems reasonable, right?
Yeah.
For Malik Monk. That's big, good money for a guy who's never got paid before. So unless somebody goes way over the top, I do think he wants to be here. And 4 for $77 million, we're not talking about like 4 for $28 million is the largest offer they can give him.
Talking to Anthony Slater of The Athletic and his piece on Malik Monk. Anthony, based on your opinion, do you think that Malik Monk could be a starter on a championship level team?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he could start on the Kings right now. I'm not sure it's like the wisest way to script your rotation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But do you consider the Kings a championship team? Yeah, no, not necessarily. But, you know, I'm just like, theoretically, let's say he was, on the Nuggets instead of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Yeah, he could start there, and I would still consider the Nuggets like a championship team. It just kind of depends on what's around him. Mm-hmm. Where like, are you asking if he could be the second best player on a championship team? No, I don't really think that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think he can be like a high minutes, 25, 30 minute per guy, third, fourth option who can you know, win you a playoff game by scoring 32, which he did for the Kings last year, right? They win game one because he scores 32. They win game six. I believe he had 28 in Chase Center. Like, that was a big time playoff win. I know they didn't win a series, but for him on the road in that environment to score 28, he was a great that night. Like, that shows you what he can do on a playoff stage.
Anthony Slater, thank you so much for your time. Anthony, look, I already told the good people on the airwaves that we go way, way back. So it's my birthday. I know I haven't dropped on Instagram yet, so you haven't seen. But it's my birthday, Anthony. So I need you to tell the people what I could do before my Achilles. I need you to tell the good people that I could cook back in the day, Anthony, that lefty layup. Come on, tell the good people what you know.
Yeah, have you all watched Brandon Pajemski much with the Warriors?
Yes.
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 Get a little Brandon Pajemski in his game, right? You know, maybe hit that little like lefty step back when the defense ain't paying attention much. You're like, how did this guy come in and grab this rebound?
Yes.
You know, why did he just take a charge in an intramural game?
No, come on. I would not do that. Wow.
You could not have picked a better player.
You know, he had a shot. It was like a quick trigger shot, right? It's like that, like, you know, you're like, oh, well, I didn't know he was even taking that. It's already up.
A little Sasha Vezenkov in his
game.
That's
right.
Okay.
I tell you what he couldn't do well, guard in the post.
All right. I
know that from firsthand experience.
Okay, basically, no, we had a two-on-two. It was one of my buddies and one of Anthony's buddies. And the shot wasn't falling that day. And Anthony, he got me in the post. Yeah. And, you know, he's crafty in the post. And they won the game.
Hit
all
you
right.
With the two
is that what you wanted, Anthony?
Well, I've retired at this point. So you should be happy that it'll never happen to you again.
There you go. Anthony Slater of The Athletic. Check out all of his work, including his outstanding piece on Malik Monk. Anthony, thank you so much. We'll see you soon. And we'll talk to you again.
All right, fellas.
When we return, breaking down what we just heard from Anthony Slater, does that make you feel better or worse about Malik's chances of staying, and also expectations for Keon and Sasha? Styles and Watkins, Sackdown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Thanks again to Anthony Slater. We will have that interview up on our YouTube for you to check out if you missed it, or you can scroll on back. Some great stuff from Anthony Slater. And I think the one thing that we can all confirm is that Malik Monk is just incredible to be around and just has one of those personalities that you just want to talk to him all day long.
Yeah.
And Anthony, that was the first thing he had to say when I asked what was the main takeaway. The main takeaway was that I love talking to him. That's what Anthony had to say. Based on what Anthony Slater said and the vibe, whether I feel better or worse about Malik Monk staying, I think it's truly all up in the air right now. And I know a lot of people can say that, and, you know, we've seen other free agents that have said that, but they truly already know. I think he wants to stay.
Yeah.
But there are a couple things that could push him out. And the number one thing is somebody blowing him out of the water, $23 million as opposed to $17 million, $25 million as opposed to $17 million. And the second thing is, how much does he care about 17 and taxes? And I'm just
good point.
Saying specifically if it's Florida or Texas or 20.
California payments.
Or, that's what I'm saying.
Living payments.
20 to 17, but that 20 is untaxed. How much does Malik Monk care about that? And ultimately, and this is taken from what Anthony Slater said, does it feel like the Kings are still on the ascension?
Yeah.
Or have they plateaued?
Yeah.
So, losing in the first round doesn't mean you plateaued, but how you lose in the first round means you plateaued. And if you don't get to the play-in, I think what's unfortunate is, again, with how ridiculous this Western Conference is, it's not that they're not a good team. Mm-hmm. It's that we are in a crazy time period within the Western Conference.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wonder how much, too, is, you know, can can the Kings just finish strong this regular season and have that be good enough? Like, I think if the Kings play, you know, we'll just throw a worst case scenario out there and we'll say they play Denver in the first round and they get 4-1 or maybe even swept. Maybe if the Kings have a strong enough end of the regular season, Malik can say, you know, we just kind of ran into a beast there. And again, it feels like we've got something working for us. So I think we're at the point now where the Kings have to give Malik Monk a reason to leave. I think that they've given him all the reason to stay. They've shown him what this thing can look like if things are going well. He got to experience the playoffs last year. He got to be a big part of the playoffs last year as well. I think it's just about, yeah, I mean, if you're going to end the season on a flat note and then, you know, have a rough playoff exit and maybe, you know, some unhappiness starts to seep in to that locker room. Maybe Kevin Huerter starts to question his role. Maybe Sasha gets upset at how he was, you know, all that stuff can spiral and maybe that's the situation, how things go bad. But I feel like things would have to go actively bad for Malik to try and seek other places. I just, vibe-wise, I just feel like he's really happy here.
I think he is. And the only thing would be, right, a decent amount of money that the Kings simply cannot offer.
That's right. Because as we know, the Riverwalk is beautiful.
Yes. And on top of that, you know, that starting spot. Yeah. And we asked Anthony Slater, do you think, and Anthony Slater covers all of the NBA, not just the Kings. Do you think that Malik Monk can be a starting guard on a championship team? Short answer is yes. Could he be the second option? Maybe not.
Right.
But could he be one of the options? He likened it to a KCP in Denver. Anthony Slater said yes. He would still consider, if you swap them out, he would still consider the Denver Nuggets a championship contender. Now, obviously, they have Jokic and other guys. But the fact of the matter is, Malik Monk can start at a championship level. If somebody wants him to do so and believes that he can, you got to do what's best for you. This is from the 916. I wanted to ask Anthony when he interviewed Malik, did he get a feeling of candor from Malik about staying with the Kings playing out the bench? I think he only speaks with candor.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? He is only open and he is only honest. And that's essentially what Anthony got.
Yes, exactly. Malik is always honest, but just because he's honest doesn't mean he's trying to send a message or anything. Mm-hmm. It's just the reality of the situation. Like Anthony said, like, he talked to Malik and it's not just about this Kings situation. It's not just he feels like, hey, I'm in this winning situation and I'm contributing a lot. I feel like I can start. It goes all the way back to the beginning of his career to feeling like, in general, I'm not getting a fair shot, or maybe I'm being looked at in a way in which I think I should actually be looked at in a higher regard. And so it's not really about the disrespect of not starting and not being in the starting lineup, because as Anthony mentioned, Malik even says, I'm still getting 30 minutes. Like, I'm really not tripping, but it is, like, it just is a thing. Whether we can say it all day, you know, it's not who starts, it's who finishes, and, you know, your money is made in the fourth quarter, all that stuff. These guys still do have egos, and you said it yesterday. Just because you have an ego doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's just a sense of pride, a sense of confidence. Malik just feels like, yeah, I am one of the best players on this team, and it should be represented in me starting. It's not going to make or break his decision, but I'm sure it's going to factor into it at least a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, that's just the reality of the situation, and it doesn't mean that Malik doesn't love Sacramento.
Exactly.
Honestly, that is probably the one thing that I keep hearing that I don't want to say I don't care about, but I care about the least, how much he likes Sacramento.
That means a lot here.
It means a lot here, but to me, if he has the ability to like, and it's not that Sacramento is hard to like, my point is that he seems to me like the person that can make the best out of his
situation.
How I take that is Malik saying, I love Sacramento. If I have to go to San Antonio, I could find a way to love San Antonio too. That's how I take it. So I don't know how much stock I'm taking in that he loves the city of Sacramento. I think it would also be connected to the fact that the fans and the front office believed in him in a way that maybe he hasn't felt he's had throughout his career. They have to show that, in my opinion, by saying, here's the money that we can offer you, and you're going to start.
Yeah. No,
that's
I mean,
how you show that you can believe in him.
Right, absolutely.
And the fans would do that tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that leaves there, and that goes to the front office.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, I mean, I would I would just say, I mean, I enjoy to hear it. I mean, maybe it's because I'm from here.
Yes,
I'm not,
yes.
And you're not discounting it.
No.
You're just more meaning like, that's not lip service either. It's just like, yeah, like that's great to hear from the fan base. Like that's fantastic. But at the end of the day, come to the negotiation table. That's not, it might factor a little bit, but that's not realistically making his decision. To your point, he can find golf courses in San Antonio.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. It's just when you hear he loves being in Sacramento, that doesn't mean he wouldn't be willing to leave.
Yes.
So I guess I'm just preparing for that.
Right.
For that. Sure. Because people hear that and they think, I just couldn't see him leaving. He says he loves it so much. Yeah. Malik went to Kentucky. Yeah. He was in Charlotte. Then we know he's from the South, right? Yeah. He's in Charlotte. Then he was in LA. Okay, we know he doesn't like bigger. The good thing, there's not a ton of big markets. That's what we always talk about.
Yeah.
So it's not as if it's hard to avoid going to a big market.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think, too, it's like.
But there is the weather.
It's great that he loves it. But honestly, the real big news from a Sacramento perspective, or at least the history of Sacramento, is he doesn't hate it.
Exactly.
And that's really what's important, is that it's great that he actually finds enjoyment out of it, but there's some, I mean, there's the classic story of Chris Webber literally crying, you know, on the airstrip when he arrived in Sacramento, because he was like, oh my gosh, I'm in the middle of nowhere. They've exiled me. And he eventually learned to love it too. But I think the important thing is that people who come here realize this is not purgatory. This is not some incredibly boring cow town that has nothing to do. Mm-hmm. You can actually enjoy yourself. So yes, it is great that Malik loves it, but honestly, it's just important that, especially a guy like Malik, who you might think has this big personality and wants to be Showtime, he's okay with the, I wouldn't call Sacramento slow, but with the non-escalated pace that is some of those other California towns.
He prefers it.
Yeah.
And you do have the weather. You can't golf in Detroit.
Sure can't. Sure
as much as you can golf out here in California. I'll tell you that much right now. When we return, expectations for Keon Ellis and Sasha Vezenkov. We'll hear from the Black Falcon, Harrison Barnes, on his thoughts on One Ellis Island. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Sorry, Chris is making me laugh.
It's not me. It is not me.
30 minutes, you will have an opportunity to win tickets.
It's your fault, Alan.
It's not my fault. 30 minutes, you will have tickets. You will have a chance to win tickets to see Hannibal Buress at the historic. Maybe you will have tickets. To see Hannibal Buress at the historic Crest Theater in downtown Sacramento. Tomorrow, March 22nd, all you have to do is hit up the Folsom McConda hotline at 12 p.m., 30 minutes. And I guess I'll pick a caller.
Yeah, I was
today.
Like, that's not even a question.
I will pick the caller today. I also, speaking of chances.
I have an idea,
ahead.
Actually.
Go ahead.
However email responses you got,
oh my goodness.
That's the number.
Because, by the way, I haven't responded. I haven't. And
yeah,
I will,
by
and
the
actually,
way.
It, there's a lot of updates on this story
haven't. We've been getting a lot of. I've been getting a lot of emails and
the most we've ever seen.
It started. I was just joking around, and here
just
we are.
Joking.
The text line has also been very funny. Haven't been able to respond to all of you, but thank you for the shout outs and all of the jokes. Speaking of winning something, by the way, guys. This was yesterday, and I believe it happened the day before. This is from Fox40.com. A lottery ticket sold in a Sacramento liquor store known for its history of selling many winning lottery tickets matched 5 of 6 numbers drawn. That was on Tuesday. No one won the Mega Millions. That it was at $893 Oof. Million at that point. But the
My
ticket
God.
Purchased at.
Do we want to put that? Why not?
Yeah.
No, shout him out.
Yeah, sure.
Why not?
Lachines Liquor and Deli in Southland Park.
There we go.
That person getting 5 of 6 numbers right.
Wow.
Still took home $1.7 million.
Dollars. Chump change.
$1.7 million. And
man.
Yeah, $1.7 million. And now it will go off again, and I believe the pot is up to $977 million.
Yeah.
It'll go off tomorrow.
I already know Nate gives big I buy lottery ticket vibes. Mm-hmm.
You know what's funny about the lottery ticket thing?
I don't do that.
I will. My dad.
But we all know what I'm talking about, we right, know Chris? We know what I'm talking about, right? Come on. We know what I'm talking
about.
It's
like guys that like fall or people that like fall. They also buy lottery tickets. I'm kidding.
What does that mean?
Chris Verlade knows what I'm talking about. He's in the back as well. It's from Crosstalk. So I will buy lottery tickets, but what's funny, and I also make fun of people like me, is that I buy the lottery tickets once it gets ridiculous to almost $1 billion, as if, it's $100 million.
Right.
Oh, I'm not going to waste my money on that, but $900 million, I'll waste my money on
me.
That. Right.
Yeah.
As the idea that you go out and buy when it's so much, when I'm pretty sure anybody could use $100 million, has always been funny to me. Maybe it's because of the taxes, and somebody on the text line was explaining to us the difference between the taxes that one person would get in Texas and Florida versus California.
Right.
But, yeah, maybe that's what it is, but I am one of those people. I do not play if it's under $500 million, because anything under that, that would just be a waste of my time. So that goes up tomorrow if anybody wants to check it out. And we also want to check out what Keon Ellis and Sasha Mazankov are going to continue to do. Keon has just been continuing to impress, and we're hoping to get Sasha Mazankov back and add to that offensive punch.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I know Sasha obviously is kind of, I mean, it seems like Sasha's going to play today, but we kind of don't know. All indications are leaning towards it. I'd imagine the injury report will come out here in about an hour. He'll probably be questionable. Let's hope he can play, because, you know, we saw last night with that lineup specifically, I think the Kings need another forward to be able to throw out there just to give Keegan and HB a little bit of rest. And then, you know, of course, Keon, we just are hoping for more of the same, really. I mean, I really do feel like it's a situation where, again, I think we might be selling his offense a little bit short here. I know he's only scoring like 6 to 8 points a game here, but it feels like he's just doing what's in front of him. And, you know, I'm just excited to see how. I talked about it, I think, a couple days ago, but Keon Ellis today hopefully doesn't look like the Keon Ellis April 15th, you know, hopefully by the end of the season, there's a different level of comfort. There's just a lot more of, hey, maybe we know Keon likes to get to this spot, or we have a play that we'd like to run specifically to give Keon a look, because he's the guy on the floor that people aren't paying a lot of attention to. So definitely hoping those two guys can give the Kings a nice little jolt here at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's exactly what the hope is. Harrison Barnes, who has taken a lot of flack from a lot of people, including us. And if you are a Kings fan, you've probably had feelings. But one thing about Harrison Barnes, and we joke about wear suit Harrison Barnes.
Right.
It's almost tax season. Harrison's going to make sure you get your taxes done. But he is that veteran presence in the locker room. He is a consummate professional. And I like when I hear him in post games, because even though it's typical athlete speak, I feel like it's genuine.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just authentic. I don't feel like he's doing it so people don't ask him other questions. I feel like
he's the model.
If you were,
everyone bases their answer off of him.
Yes. If you were if you ran into Harrison in downtown in Doco and you asked him those questions, there were no cameras around, anything like that, he would still answer the same way. And he had some things to say.
Great things.
On Keon Ellis. Here is Harrison Barnes on Ellis Island.
And I was like, you know, he's going to be an NBA player. Hopefully he's here, but he's definitely going to be an NBA player. And I think, you know, he's been preparing, waiting for this moment, just to be able to show on a consistent basis what he can do. And there's some things he does out there, some of the steals he makes, the blocks he makes, you know, it's the only things that he can do. So it's been great to see him continue to do that and show that consistently.
To be able to slot in steals, I mean, 4 steals last night for one Keon Ellis. It's just a luxury that the Kings have not had. And you hear Harrison talk about Keon and how he has kind of worked his way to be ready for this. A lot of times going into the season, every team has a surprise, right? Mm-hmm. And each season, that surprise could be different, and it depends how much that surprise helps you. I would say last season, there were a couple. The whole team was a surprise, yes. But I think the biggest one would probably have been Keegan.
Definitely,
yeah. And what Keegan was able to do. And a lot of those championship teams, you need something to show up that you didn't initially account for. Mm-hmm. And I know this is it for the Kings this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is the thing that is changing them into the team that Mike Brown has been screaming for a year and a half. A team that still is lethal on offense, but isn't just a running faucet on defense. And we've seen their defensive numbers have never looked this good as it has really since Keon entered the rotation. This month of March has kind of been a little bit of a cheat code for the Kings in a way. If you look at all the numbers, every number you would want to see the Kings have, they have it in March. They're knocking down shots at a high clip. They're scoring a lot of points. But most importantly, they're locking down on the defensive end. And that's what Keon brings. And I think Whitey or you asked De'Aaron the other day before they left for the road trip, like, is that kind of stuff defensively contagious? We know they always say, you know, when one team gets rolling momentum offensively, the hoop can look like a hula hoop. Mm-hmm. But defensively, it's not really talked about how energy can be transferable. And that's really what De'Aaron said is, like, legitimately, you see Keon out there fighting. You know, yesterday he got a steal fronting Kelly Olynyk on the perimeter. Like, if Keon Ellis, who, you know, is one of the – he's not jacked or nothing. Mm-hmm. He's a pretty skinny guy. If he can fight around Kelly Olynyk and get a steal fronting him,
right?
Why can't De'Aaron Fox? Why can't Malik Monk? It really runs out of excuses for the other guys. If Keon, a dude who was on a two-way contract, who's only making $3 million or whatever a year, if he's going to put together that effort, then what excuse do guys like Malik have? What excuse does De'Aaron have? And I really do think that it's been contagious, and you see how everybody has really stepped up their defensive game here recently.
We will hear from Mike Brown on Sasha Vezenkov when we return. Also at 12 o'clock, line up the calls now. Line up the text of the Sack Chat. Are the Kings playing the best basketball of the season right now? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Ellis Island. Did you see that tweet last night?
That's right.
Sacramento Kings.
That's right.
It's official.
They're listeners.
They are listeners to the show.
Yep.
As they tweeted out, Ellis Island is the real deal.
Yeah. Pretty sure they're going to be saying, like, dog segment or something. Yeah. It's going to be like, okay, that's a little bit on the nose. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we appreciate the shout out, I guess.
They're going to be like, Nate's a lottery ticket guy.
That's right.
The Kings are just going to tweet that out.
So is there a difference between a lottery ticket guy and a scratch-em guy?
Oh, dude. Scratch-ems are like... I almost said something.
Same.
I like scratchers.
Yes, is the short answer. I would say that they're scratchers are a little bit
more. Did you guys get that
they're
present?
They're fun on your birthday.
Yeah, I got that present when I turned 18.
Yeah.
Somebody gave you 25 scratchers. Did you get that?
I get those on Christmas. Like, if someone doesn't know.
And then I lost every single one. I think I won a couple tickets. And that was...
I just can't do the lottery.
That was basically it. But it feels like the Kings have hit the lottery with Keon Ellis and what he's been able to do and bring to the table. But Keon wasn't really the guy that we all had pegged to be the surprise contributor on the Kings. Right. It was Sasha Vezenkov.
That's right.
And hopefully you get him back today. No official word yet, but it feels like it's trending in that direction. And with Kevin Huerter out, that is shooting that you could really, really use.
Yes, desperately. Absolutely. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, how quickly he gets thrown in there and, you know, really, I mean, how quickly he gets acclimated to everything. It's not like you know, Sasha was a part of the a staple of the rotation before he left. That's why I think it's going to be tough for him to just kind of reinsert himself. I know Trey is out. I know Kevin's out. That definitely opens, as I would say, a window of opportunity. But at the same time, you know, Mike Brown, I think, said it last night in saying, you know, we're playing really well right now. So I'm not just going to switch things up just because Sasha's available. Sure, he might find himself, you know, much like JaVale or Alex Len finds himself getting one rotation in the first half. But he, if Sasha is going to be a solidified part of this rotation, he's going to have to make the most out of his remaining opportunities. And we just don't know how many opportunities that's even going to be.
Let's hear from Mike Brown right now on Sasha, basically how you describe. And based on some of these quotes, I have some thoughts. But let's hear the sound.
You know, we're playing pretty good right now. And so it's you know, I'm not one just to pull a guy out to put another guy in. So he's going to have to work his tail off on both ends of the floor. And when he gets an opportunity, he's going to have to take advantage of it, just like Keon did. Back in the day, you know, we threw him in for a few minutes here and there, and every time we threw him in, he busted his behind on both sides of the ball, and now he's starting for us.
I'm be honest. We talk about athlete speak and coaches speak. That sounds like we're rolling right now, and unless there's actually a reason to put Sasha in, I'm not putting him in.
He would have played last night, is what Mike Brown was trying to say. He's like, that fourth quarter would have been good for Sasha minutes. I think that's exactly how I'm reading into it, too, is him essentially saying, and it's actually kind of funny, I could see Kings fans, or some Kings fans, rolling their eyes as Mike Brown, I'm not just going to pull somebody out just to put somebody in, because it has been a little bit random at points this year, but I think Mike's trying to say, like, you know, Keon Ellis or Davion's not getting pulled so that we can just see Sasha. If there's an opening for it, if we're not making shots, we'll throw Sasha out there as a change of look, but he's not, again, he was not in the rotation before. He's definitely not just guaranteed a rotational spot just because he's available now and there's some open opportunity for it. I think that, you know, if tonight plays out how it does how it did last night, Sasha's definitely playing today. He'll probably play 10 minutes today. But if for whatever reason it's a close game, the Kings aren't taking care of the Wizards, I just don't think Mike Brown's going to throw Sasha in if it's a, you know, under a 10-point lead and it's not in the fourth quarter. You know, maybe third quarter, maybe second quarter, but I just don't think he's going to get some real legitimate minutes if they're close.
It's funny because there are two situations where you can't really see him putting Sasha in. There's only one. It's a blowout right now.
Right.
Because if you're not taking care of business against a lesser team or if it's still close, you're trying to build to that. So you're not going to put Sasha in. Yep. If you are up against, let's say, the Magic, another playoff team on the road, and you're trying to hang around and get this W, you're not going to put Sasha in. Right. So there's really only one situation for Sasha to start to get time and get minutes. So I just am not sure that we're going to see a lot of Sasha. And even if he, let's say last night happens, right? Let's say, here's the issue.
Yes, exactly. I know where I'm going.
Yep. If last night happens, Sasha gets in and he plays pretty well.
Yep.
Well, the reason he was able to get in is because they were all playing well.
Right.
So how is he going to get in?
Well, and like, what do you do with those minutes? Like, does that mean, okay, he played well and I don't like the term, no one likes the term, but garbage time. Mm-hmm. And so what? He played well in garbage time. Now we're again, like, we're just supposed to insert his minutes now. Like, it's gotta make sense. Like, it's gotta have, maybe if Duarte's not playing well, that opens the door for Sasha to then get some minutes. But right now it just doesn't really make sense unless, like you said, I mean, unless they're getting blown out and, you know, they aren't knocking down shots and Mike feels like, hey, we just need another shot maker out there and Sasha is the guy who maybe makes three threes in a quarter. Well, then that's maybe how he gets reinserted or maybe even just builds up trust for Mike Brown, which really might be where this conversation should be, is just forget the rotation, but how much does Mike Brown even really how much does Mike Brown want to play Sasha Vezenkov also? Because realistically, again, when we look at this team, what is he providing that they're lacking right now? if it's not shooting. I mean, if they're not hitting, if they're shooting under 30%, sure, it makes sense. But if they're just not defending well, you're not going to throw Sasha out.
If you're like, in a shootout, then he could help. Yeah. But part of the to win the shootout is whoever finally makes a stop, or I guess who goes cold. Right. But yeah, it's going to be tough for Sasha to get back in there, especially at this time in the season and what he has already done. Yeah. Again, this isn't a bona fide starter coming back. We have questions about if the Kings keep rolling, what will happen with Kevin Huerter and his minutes. So with that being said, it's hard to imagine Sasha getting back in there unless the thought is he could do something similar to Trey Lyles and defend in that way. And I want to see him. Yeah, I want to see him. I think we all do. I think people have been clamoring to see him. But if you're balling and you're taking care of business, it'd have to be a bad. I mean, the whole thing with Keon was that those were losing blowouts.
Yes.
And Keon showed up. Yep. So something was wrong.
Yep.
A winning blowout, that's a little bit different. Let's get to Steven, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Steven? What you got for us?
Good morning, birthday boy. How you doing?
I am good. I am good. I appreciate that. Thank you.
No, absolutely. I'm literally calling to wish you a happy birthday. I was trying to talk to Nate to see if I could get like a scratcher delivered because you know it's your birthday, man. You gotta play your odds today, man. Have you eaten lunch already yet? Can I get you something delivered or what?
We're good. We're good over here. But I thank you very much for that.
No, absolutely. Happy birthday, my friend. Enjoy your day. Secure the bag and light that beam, my friend.
That is what we love to do. Thanks for the call, Steven. As always, one of our P1s. Steven will always have something good to say and keeping the vibes right. And
how's your bracket looking, Alan?
Man, the bracket is
Michigan State won.
Not good.
I'm dying back here.
Yeah.
It looks like BYU is about to lose to Duquesne.
Ugly. Not good for me either. But look, this is all fine and good. We all know it's all about having the correct Final Four.
That's
so as long as you have this is all for fun. Actually, let me rephrase that. Because if you have a pick that everybody else has, if you have Purdue or UNC or Houston, these games do matter because all of the little points that you can grab. But, not doing so well so far, but it's still early. When we return, are you worried about Keegan Murray? Also, are the Kings playing their best basketball of the season? And your chance to win, just for my birthday, I'm giving away Hannibal Buress tickets. It's not me. Live Nation is teamed up with Sactown Sports. That's all up next. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.